Lord my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Dear friends, I hope you enjoyed that hymn. It's one of the great ones. Welcome to worship today. We are so delighted that you are here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. on the second Sunday after Epiphany. Please join me in the call to worship. Beloved, like the ancient ones we hear speaking to us from the pages of Scripture, we too are called to walk in the way of God. God calls us out of our darkness. Dear ones, Jesus knows us inside and out and invites us to follow him. Jesus calls us out of our darkness. Children of the Most High, the Holy Spirit encourages us and leads us to live in the light. We will join the Spirit in the dance of God, the three in one. Living in the light, we will proclaim his goodness and love together. And we join together and light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. Let us live in that light and let us worship him. Let's pray. Lord God, you call your people to tasks we would not ourselves choose. Give us the grace to love you enough to follow when you call. You know our weakness and have promised to give resources for that which you ask of us. We praise you for your generous care. Like Samuel, let us say, "Here I am." God of surprising light, here we are. We are surrounded, O God, with people who need to hear the story, people who need to meet the one from Nazareth, Jesus our Lord. Make our places of worship places of hospitality and welcome. Make our words and actions of invitation. Like Philip, let us say, "Come and see." God of surprising light, here we are. Amen. Seeking God's mercy, let's pray the prayer of confession together. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our thoughts, our weaknesses, our motivations, our sins. And you love us still. Forgive us when we don't believe such love is true or possible, when we wonder how you could love us just as we are, when we forget our intricate construction, fearfully, wonderfully made in your image. Remove from our minds every thought which keeps us from you. Break down the walls. Push aside the pride and help us to trust anew. You know our hearts and you love us still. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For nothing is impossible with God. There is no place you can go, no end of the earth you can run to where you will be outside of the love of God for you. There is nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate you from that love. You are forgiven. You are loved unconditionally. You are reconciled to God. Go and live freely and fully in the love of God. Amen.
John 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This is the word of God.
During my time in theological school, I was required to take two classes, a part one and a part two, of classes that were specifically focused on digging into the topics of character and call. We spent two semesters on these, trying to reflect on a number of aspects of these two topics, including the question, what does it mean to be called? Those classes were deep and they were challenging, but they were among some of my favorites. And I think that both of the topics of them, character and call, are central in this story we've just heard of Philip and Nathanael and Jesus. In fact, I'm kind of surprised that our professor didn't ask us to use this passage as the basis of one of the many papers we were asked to write as part of our studies. It would have been a good one. Let me start first by debunking something that could get in our way if we don't address it. What do we mean when we talk about call? Call is the word that we often associate only with those who are working in some sort of professional ministry or mission. But in reality, that is far too narrow an interpretation of the word call. In actual fact, it's not just pastors or missionaries who are called. All of us are called, each and every one of us. And we are each called by God in more than one way. Now, it can be helpful to think of these calls as coming sequentially, but in reality, it often doesn't work that way. But for the sake of clarity as we talk about them today, let's talk about them one at a time to start. First, there is the call for us to belong to God. Every one of us here today is called to belong to God, whether we know that and have accepted that call or not. God is calling each of us to Him. And in belonging to God, we are also called to take our part of place in the part of the community of God's people, both in a specific community of faith like St. Stephen's, and in the larger community of God's people, those who are alive now and those who have come before us. And then, flowing from that, as part of the community of God's people, we are also called to together join in God's work in the world. So one, we are called to belong to God. Two, we are called to belong to the community of the people of God. And three, we are called to do God's work. That last one is the one we often think of when we think about the word call. But in fact, all three are vital and essential aspects of what it means to be called by God. In our story today, we see both Philip and Nathanael experiencing aspects of all three of these calls, just in these very first encounters they had with Jesus. As we heard, Jesus came upon Philip and invited him to follow him as Jesus headed off to Galilee. Philip obviously agreed, and so began his call to belong to God. Also, though, the call to become part of the community of God's people. Remember, he was becoming part of the community of disciples that Jesus was gathering. And finally, his call to join in the mission of Jesus, a mission that they would eventually all dedicate the rest of their lives to. Did Philip know that all of that was coming when he first accepted Jesus' invitation to follow that day? No, of course he didn't. But with the benefit of hindsight, we know that that was what was happening, which might stir each of us to wonder how seemingly innocuous moments in our own lives might actually be far more significant than we realize at the time. On this day, Philip answered God's call by opening his mind to the possibility that Jesus might really be the Messiah. By joining Jesus on his trip to Galilee, probably in the hopes of learning more about him. And of course, by going and finding his friend Nathanael and getting him to come along as well. Isn't that cool? Philip was still in the process of responding to Jesus' call himself, and without even realizing it, he'd already begun to join in Christ's mission just by going and finding Nathanael and inviting him along. As we can see, these three different aspects of call are sometimes wonderfully woven together, both for us individually and between us and others. Philip was being called, and in the process, so was Nathanael. Now, it seems that Nathanael must have already had faith in God because Jesus looked at him and saw that he was a true Israelite. But here on this day, he met Jesus, and he had a chance to become part of the community of disciples that Jesus was calling together and to join with them in God's work. All three calls happening at the same time. At first, we know Nathanael scoffed at the idea that Jesus might really be the Messiah. But once he heard that Jesus had seen him sitting under that fig tree, everything changed for Nathanael. His eyes were opened and he realized that it was true. Jesus was the Son of God, the long-awaited King of Israel. What happened in that moment for Nathanael? What convinced him that Jesus really was who Philip was claiming him to be? Well, quite simply, Jesus made it personal. He made it clear that while Nathanael may not have ever even heard of Jesus before that day, Jesus knew Nathanael. A little later on in this gospel, in chapter 2, John tells us that Jesus did not need any testimony about anyone, for he knew what was in each person. Not only had Jesus seen Nathanael under the fig tree, but he obviously knew his character, knew that he was a man of honesty and integrity, as he said, an Israelite in whom there was no deceit. And when Nathanael realized this, that Jesus obviously knew him, Nathanael knew that Jesus was more than just another rabbi come along, that he really was the one God had sent to them. You know, one of the greatest gifts in doing pastoral work is being privileged enough to be able to hear the stories of how God does this with people. He comes to them, not just in general, but in ways that are markedly personal, ways that show us that God must be behind what is happening, ways that show us that God knows us and is calling us. Sometimes that call is for us to belong to him, or sometimes it's a call to community, or a call to join in God's work. We don't only hear one call from God. He calls us throughout our lives. In many ways, the life of following Jesus is a life of listening for and responding to God's call for us. So while we might think of a call as a momentous, once-in-a-lifetime event that is reserved only for certain people destined for certain roles, it's not. Look at Philip in this story. Whether he knew it or not, he was responding to a call when he went and found Nathanael and invited him to come and see Jesus. We know now that that call was extremely significant. But in the moment, for Philip, probably seemed pretty ordinary. In the moment, Philip may not have even realized that that excitement in his heart that was prompting him to go and find his friend was actually God calling him. It was. The Holy Spirit was nudging Philip to do something. Something that was all a part of God's great story. He was nudging him to go and be part of God calling his friend Nathanael. Friends, we are all called in different, unique, and personal ways. We are all called over and over and over again. We are all called by a God who knows us inside and out and whose heart's desire is for us to belong to him. We are all called by God to be part of the community he is establishing, the community in which we get to learn to live that abundant, vibrant kingdom life Jesus teaches about. And as part of that life, we are all called by God to join in his work. So as you go about your days, I hope this story encourages you. I hope it encourages you first to pay attention to those little nudges that come. Nudges maybe to do something or to reach out to someone or maybe to even pursue something yourself. The nudges, they might come in a myriad of ways. And sometimes they may have a distinctively personal aspect to them. Something that convinces you that this isn't just an idea you have in your head, but that God might really be behind it all. When I was prayerfully considering whether to put my name forward for this role as your minister, I had been waiting and listening for quite some time for something that would confirm whether God was actually calling me to do that or not. One day, that confirmation came. When I had been recommended for ordination 2 years before that, a very special prayer by Oscar Romero had been shared with us. And one line of that prayer stuck in my head and has been stuck there since that day. We are ministers, not messiahs. It was as if God had said to me, Diane, I want you to remember this. You're going to need it. Well, 2 years later, as I was waiting and listening and trying to discern what to do, Phil got sick, and I had to step in for a few weeks to do some parts of his job. One day, as I was preparing a sermon, that line from that prayer showed up in the commentary I was reading. It was right there, right at the end of the article, so I couldn't miss it. The very same line that God had sealed in my head 2 years before. We are ministers, not messiahs. For me, God got personal that day. And because he did, I knew it was him. It was the nudge that I needed to have the courage to put my name forward. Now, I tell you that story not because I'm special, but simply because it is my story. I know many of you have stories of your own, but they are personal and they're yours to share, not mine, so I'm not going to share any of them today. But honestly, I could have told any of them as beautiful examples of how God has called you in all of the ways that we've been thinking about today. The thing I know for sure is that God is calling each of us, because like Philip and Nathaniel, whether we are always aware of it or not, we each have an important part that God has created just for us to do in this great work of redemption and restoration that God is doing all around us every day. Amen.
I have heard my people cry,
God who dwells in deepest sin, my hand will save.
I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Good morning. Would you pray with me this morning these prayers? I'm proposing that we pray responsively, and I'll finish each section with a pause and then ask, Lord, in your mercy, and you might complete this with, hear our prayer. Let's pray. God, you are with us in the wind and the rain, in the lakes and the oceans. You're there in the forests and the desert. You call to us from the mountains, and you see us in the valleys. You hear us in our joyous times and in our sadness. You are our God. You are faithful. We celebrate your presence with us. We welcome you, Spirit. We celebrate the gift of your presence working among us and through us. Help us to hear your words, find your wisdom, and feel those nudges to act. Jesus, we delight to walk as you walked, and it's hard sometimes. Help us to ask, what would you do as we journey through each day, as we encounter others, and as we make decisions? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for our ministers, Diane, and the support she receives from Foster and Phil and all the staff of this church. Together, they enable so much to take place here. Thank you for the ministry teams, the board of elders, and our board chair. We pray for the upcoming board retreat to take place on January 17th. Help the board to hear your will as they move forward seeking your way. So many churches are experiencing difficult times, and we pray for the souls of these churches. We pray for the soul of this church. Strengthen our resolve to live St. Stephen's mission and bedrock beliefs that have come from you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You, Lord God, delight in our prayers, and we give thanks for answers to our petitions, for healings, for small steps forward. You give us hope. We pray for those who are sick, suffering, and alone. Move us, Lord, to become more aware of our surroundings and to respond generously to the suffering here in Oceanside, especially those who must live outside in the wet and the cold, night after night. We pray for those who grieve. It is so hard to lose those we love. Help them feel your comforting hand on their shoulder. This morning, we pray for Tiki and the family of Al Westnidge. And I encourage you to name others on your hearts today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for doctors and nurse practitioners. Please come and join us in Oceanside. We need your help. Bless and give strength to all of our care providers and those who serve to protect us. They matter so much. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that the devastation of war in the Ukraine and the Middle East can end. It must end, Lord. We pray for peace. We need you, Spirit, to speak to those that turn to war as the only solutions to disagreements and conflicts. Give leaders everywhere clearer vision, kinder hearts, more cooperative spirits. Move their focus towards finding just and peaceful solutions. Lord, you know how much healing we need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers and our own petitions to you, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the three in one. Now let's finish this time of prayer with the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For all the ways you give to the ministries and work of God through this congregation, we give you thanks. And I ask you now to pray with me over the gifts that have been given this week. Let's pray the offertory prayer. Receive our gifts, O God. May they be used to show forth to the world the greatness of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, your perfect gift and our Saviour. Amen.
So friends, go now, listening for the voice of God and following wherever it leads. And as you go, may God be with you, speaking to you and even at times perhaps speaking through you. May Christ Jesus be one with you, raising you to life every day. And may the Holy Spirit dwell within you, making you holy. Friends, go in love and peace to live and serve in Christ's name. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. are.